Good morning and welcome to EMP. Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 24 as we look at the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 24, starting with verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young women to whom I shall say, please let your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before me he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the throat and ran again to the well and to draw water, and she drew for all her camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her arm weighing 10 gold shekels, and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran toward the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. He said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. So the man came to the house and unharnessed the camels and gave straw and fodder to the camels, and there was water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have said what I have to say. He said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male servants and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him when he was given all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughter of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's son and to my clan and take a wife for my son. I said to my master, perhaps a woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. You shall take a wife for my son from my clan and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my clan, and if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And who will say to me, drink, and I will draw from your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Behold, before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder. She went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may return to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you, good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord, and the servant brought out jewelry of silver and of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother costly ornaments. And he said to the men who were with him, ate and drank, and they spent the night there. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Her brother and her mother said, let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days, after that she may go. But he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my ways. Send me away, that I may go to my master. They said, let us call the young woman and ask her. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their master, and their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, O sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s. Sorry, lost my spot. Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. Then Rebekah and her young women arose and rode on the camels and followed the men. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai-Roi and was dwelling in Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Whew, that is one long chapter. I timed it 10 minutes. Wow, okay. 10 minutes to share. Okay, so real quick, just going back through this story of Abraham and continuing to look at the life of Abraham. The title of this devotion is just simple is who have you entrusted and are you trustworthy? As we look here in verse 1, that Abraham was old and advanced in years, and that God had blessed Abraham in all things. And it says then in verse 2 that Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had. And so really, when looking at this verse, I think the thing that stood out to me, so many things stood out, but I think what I wanted to focus on is, who have you entrusted and are you trustworthy? Because here Abraham is showing that he's already advanced in his years and he's already acquired so much. And so he needs to place someone in trust. He needs to entrust someone with all that he has. And he has his servant who is in charge of everything. And that's one of the key things in our life in terms of who do we entrust with the things that are most valuable in our lives. And are we ourselves trustworthy? And I think this can relate in some way to maybe our relationships at work. It could be in terms of our relationship with our husbands or spouses or children or just our friendships in terms of trustworthiness. And so I'm just going to look for a few things here that stood out in terms of this servant who demonstrates trustworthiness towards his master Abraham. And so three things that I think I notice in terms of this servant here. One of them is skill. That Abraham has entrusted him with everything that he has. So in some way, he is entrusting his servant to be able to manage everything. What does that take? That takes skill. Okay, you don't need to be spiritual or godly. You could be the most ungodly person, but you could be skillful in managing other things. Okay, and so we have skill. The next thing is we have character. Okay, we have character that this servant takes an oath and he gives him his word. What you tell me to do, that I will do and I will bring to completion. So that's character, that he is a person that, hey, whatever I have said yes to, my yes is a yes and I will not complete it until I have completed that oath. Next is just his spiritual life, okay? Is that he's throughout this whole time as Abraham has sent him out, he's praying through this whole process. He's praying for Abraham. He's praying for Abraham that God would show favor upon Abraham. And in that process, he does what we sometimes do when we're trying to make a decision, right? He says, hey, God, if how will I know the woman that is the one for my master's son? He says, hey, if the woman comes out and she gives me water, and on top of that, she offers to water the camels, she will be the one. And so we kind of do that sometimes, right? If we're praying for a job situation or we're trying to make a decision in our lives, we kind of, like, it could just be the random stuff. It'd be like, okay, God, if you want me to go to EMP today, the lights will be on when I wake up, or the door will be, we'll throw random, what we call golden fleeces, just to kind of just see if that's the way that God is leading us. So that's kind of what he does. If this is a woman, then she'll give me the water, but she'll also offer water to my camels. And so that's what ends up happening. And then what does it say? That after that has occurred, it says that he waited in silence, praying to the Lord. And so we understand that this guy throughout this whole time in his response, he's always worshiping and praying. And so we see that in terms of his spiritual life, that he's always seeking God's leading and guidance throughout this whole process. Okay. So in terms of being trustworthy yourself or wanting trustworthy people in your life, I think these are just three practical things that we can look for in others and ourselves is, are they skillful? Do they demonstrate character? And how's your spiritual life as well? Now, granted, if you don't work, if maybe at work this might be a bit harder because we don't work with Christians, right? That you're not everyone that you're going to work with is going to be praying about their decisions or just pray, have a prayerful life in terms of their relationship with God. But you can at least in some way look towards, hey, is this person skillful? Hey, does this person have character? Okay? Because if we're entrusting people, we should be looking at characteristics in their lives that demonstrate someone to be trustworthy. And the other way is because we could look at this from the perspective of Abraham. Okay, maybe you're in an Abraham season and you're wondering, who should I trust, God, with all that you've given me? Or who should I trust at work, God, and so forth? But you might be more maybe the other way around, that maybe God has placed you as a servant to serve someone in their life, and are you demonstrating trustworthiness? Because I think the servant here demonstrates one of the hardest things, which is for, I think, what we often struggle with in our workplace, okay? Especially, I think it's very easy to be faithful and loyal and to be praying for our bosses who we think are great bosses. But the moment we have bosses that just suck sometimes in our lives, what do? We mostly just talk, right? And I think I find that amazing from this servant, that his heart and his desire is for his boss, that God would show favor upon his boss, and that he would see his boss success, and that his success will be my success as well. I saw that. I was like, oh, wow. That's so amazing. I know I've gone through seasons in my life where I looked at my boss. I was like, it's just so hard to pray for you. But here, this servant demonstrates one of the difficult things in our lives versus, I think, I pray that maybe in your house church, because I think sometimes that's where it happens, or maybe with your friends, instead of just always venting about who God has placed over you and your life at work, is you stop and you begin to pray for that person. That you begin to just pray for that person, that you would see God's faithfulness and love over their lives. Because sometimes I think we're more secretly praying for their downfall. I wouldn't say praying, but we're thinking about it, right? More for their downfall more than anything, rather than praying for their success. And so here, I think this demonstrates just the kind of servant that Abraham had in his life. And I think that is just amazing, even in terms of friendship, right? I think of my friends, and I'm viewing it from my perspective of also being a friend, and I'm thinking, man, do I pray for my friend's success? Or I think sometimes secretly we pray for the people around us and their success, but as long as it just doesn't it doesn't get better than us or just stays as we are. But here, I think there's something to be said about us as people when we could pray for our friends or for when we could pray for those around us, that we would see God's faithfulness and love being manifested and shown in their lives. Because I think most of the time we're just praying for ourselves, right? For God, show me that you would be faithful and loving and kind towards my life. But are we also people in terms of being trustworthy people praying for others, that God would bless this person, and that if they succeed, then I'm going to be as joyful, God, because you are blessing them in that way. And so that's what I wanted to reflect on this morning and bring it back to those two things in terms of Abraham being in old age and having someone trustworthy in his life. Because here, I think there's one thing that is clear, is that Abraham trusts God, okay? Because Abraham is showing his trust in God and saying, hey, this is what's going, he's explaining to his servant, hey, this is what's going to happen because this is what God has promised me. But I think at the same time, we can see that there's no success here without the trustworthiness of a servant, right? Because the servant says, the servant could just be like, hey, you're an old man. You're probably going to forget this old anyway after this conversation. Or, you know what? This place is so far, I'm just going to say that I went and say, hey, I didn't find anyone and I'm free. You know, and so there's a sense of loyalty in terms of that. So apart from trusting God over our lives, we have to also realize that sometimes our success is sometimes dependent on those we've chosen to trust in our lives as well. And that's whether in friendships or in the workplace as well. As much as we're trusting God, it runs parallel in terms of sometimes our success is dependent on those we've chosen to trust as well. So who are the people in your life that you're entrusting as well? Because those are key. And what are the things that you are looking for as well? And I just wanted to share for you to consider these three things: skill, character, and spiritual life. That you would entrust people that demonstrate these things in their life. And don't be fooled that just because they seem spiritual that they have character and skill. Sometimes spiritual people does not mean they have character. Those things sometimes just for whatever reason don't align. But I think when those three things align in our lives, I think the people around us are blessed by that. And when those things align in other people's life, we're blessed by that as well at the same time. And so I just want to leave you with that as we go into a time of worship and just reflect. Are you trustworthy in your life? And who have you entrusted in your life? And maybe as a point of reflection and prayer, maybe we're thinking, God, I have no one at work. Or maybe you're thinking, God, I have no friends that I could really entrust anything with. And then let that be your prayer then. God, place people in my life, just as Abraham had this servant that he could entrust all that he had, all that was important to him, that you would place such people in our lives that we could entrust with things in our life that are important to us, not just necessarily the material and possessions, but even share people that we can have, that we can share our hearts with. And we know that when we share our hearts with them, they're not going to go around and share that with others, but we can trust them that they're going to keep things to themselves and be praying for me in that way. And so let that be what guides you. Who have you entrusted, and are you trustworthy? Let's pray and worship.
Love.
In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to than a brother." And so, Father, we entrust our lives to you. And so we pray that you would just put trustworthy people around us in our lives. Reliable people, people that show skill and character and a relationship with you that pray. That the friendships that we have in our lives would want to see our success and praying for us. And our people of good character, as your word also declares in Proverbs, that bad character destroys good character. And so, Father, I pray that we would also find ourselves to be trustworthy people. That we would find to be ourselves to be skillful and of great character and to be in walking relationship with you. That we would be the type of friends that our friends know that we are praying for them. That our spouses know that we are praying for them, that we are for them, even those in our workplace as well, where it's perhaps the most difficult place for us sometimes. That you would bring godly friendships into our lives, into our workplaces as well, that can walk with us, that can encourage us, and that can challenge us as well. And so, Father, we just entrust in you that you would just place trustworthy people in our lives and that we would find ourselves to be trustworthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's move to our time of community prayer and come to the front.